Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're glad to be with you today. We're getting ready in just a few moments to gather around the Word of God and talk about the greatest subject in all of the world, concerning the greatest person in all of the world, from the greatest book in all of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So take time, I pray, out of the busyness of your life right now, whether you've downloaded this teaching from our website or you're listening live right there in Madison. We welcome you today, and we would add, if you're listening by computer as WMAF streams to through the World Wide Web, anywhere in America, anywhere in the world, we welcome you to this broadcast today. And we do pray earnestly that God's Word will find a place in your heart and therefore begin to change your life. Praise the Lord. And if you're not a Christian today, please be our special guest. We want you to know the reason for gospel music. Gospel means good news, basically, in its most basic form. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It is the good news that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Praise God. Well, there's a lot of things we could talk about today, but the most important thing is the most important person, and that's Jesus, and the most important plan, and that's the plan of salvation. And God, who loved the world enough to send Christ to us, actually to come to us through Christ, to hang on a cross, die in our place. That's the old, old story. And I remember when I was a very, very young guy, 12 years old, when I first encountered Jesus in my life, I used to listen to my pastor's radio broadcast, and I remember the theme song from way back then, as if it was yesterday. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. My friend, I'm still telling the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And I pray today that as we understand that this is not a fable, this is not a fairy tale, this is not just a story for children at bedtime, this is a reality. This is God's Word and God's message to you and to me. That's why the name of this broadcast is Let's Talk About Jesus instead of Let's Talk About Religion. Let's Talk About Jesus instead of talking about some other subject. This is about Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul said it so clearly to the church at Corinth. He said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. Praise God. Every blessing salvation brings, salvation itself and every accompanying blessing is a result of what Christ has done for us at Calvary. Praise God. Well, we're talking about the glorious Christ this week. Out of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, we're going to review a little bit as we move toward the summation of this study of the glorious Christ. We've kind of categorized these statements into the sevenfold glory of Christ, and I think we're somewhere around four or five. We're going to do a little catch-up today, but before we do, we would invite you to come to our website if you would like. Just type in THCOG. That's the easiest way to Google it. If you want to type in the Holy Church of God on your computer, if you're connected to the World Wide Web, it will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida. We're an affiliate in good standing with Independent Assemblies of God International since 1974. We are getting ready this January to celebrate 40 years as the senior pastor, and actually a little while after that to celebrate 50 years of marriage. Praise God to the same sweet lady. And I'm so happy that God has brought us as a family, as husband and wife and family unit. He's brought us through so many storms and trials, and He has been so wonderfully, powerfully present and faithful that I can't say enough about Him. The longer I live, the more I want to brag on Jesus. So if you're facing something today and it feels like heaven is brass and God is distant, I want to assure you that He's very, very near you right now. Praise God. And if you'll just hold on a little while longer, God will take you through. And you'll look back and see that He turned the test into a testimony. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're getting ready to go to this Bible study. Come to our website if you would like. There are sermons that span those years, over 1,000, I believe. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. There are Bible helps. There's music to inspire. There's just all kinds of opportunities to be lifted up in Christ, and we would invite you to come. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 22. We're talking about the glorious Christ, literally the sevenfold glory of Christ. And we're going to review just a little as we go forward in this study, but I don't want to go through it too fast and miss something about the glory of Jesus. And speaking of Christ, in verse 15 of Colossians 1, it said, "Of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." And I'm going to put an emphasis on He and Him, because it's all about Jesus here. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Praise the Lord. The end result of this teaching, where God wants us to go and what God wants us to see in His Word, is to see His Son in all of His glory. Hallelujah. To see Jesus high and lifted up. To see the glorious Christ. To understand who He was and what He did. Is such a glorious person Jesus is. Hallelujah. The first thing we talked about in this sevenfold glory is the glory of His person. Verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the very the firstborn of every creature." Amen. And the second thing that we talked about is the glory of His power in verse 16. "For by Him were all things created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." So we see the glory of His person, the glory of His power. And we talked about the glory of His preexistence. Verse 17 said, "He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Praise God. Amen. And then we talked about the glory of His position, that He is the head of the Christian church. Praise God. I know every church denomination has a leader somewhere. Amen. But I want you to know, if it's a true church, Jesus is the head of that church. Every church has a pastor, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. Someone said the Christian faith reposes in a person rather than a creed. Jesus Christ is the personal living center of theology. Jesus is the source of the individual Christian life. Jesus is the head of the whole Christian church, and Jesus is the sovereign of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we understand that Jesus is the preeminent one. He is the predominant figure. And we're going to talk here about the glory of His preeminence. Amen. And the Scripture said very, very clearly, amen, in Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 18, that, speaking of the glory of His position, that upon this rock, the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, hallelujah, amen, that God would build His church. And the church built upon that revelation of Christ, the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against it. Amen. And the Bible said that in all things He might have the preeminence. That in all things He might have the preeminence. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 bears this out. By the way, preeminence simply means to be first, to have first place. It says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Bible speaks then of the glory of His fullness. That's why He's such a glorious Christ. Verse 19 of Colossians said that for it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness would dwell. That's Colossians 1 and verse 19. Praise God. The Amplified says it well. I like this. It said, "For it pleased the Father that all the fullness, the sum total of divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in Him permanently." Praise God. You know, they said to Jesus, "Jesus, we see You praying to the Father. We hear You talking of the Father. And, oh Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. We'll be satisfied if You'll just show us the Father." And Jesus turned to these disciples and He said, "Have you been with Me all this time, and you haven't seen the Father? Yea, I say unto you that when you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." Glory to God. You know, God is a spirit, and no man has seen God, therefore, at any time. But Jesus has declared Him. Jesus has exegeted Him. Jesus has brought Him out so that we might see the character, the personality, the nature of this God. Someone said one time, Jesus is what God would be like if He were a man. And in fact, this is exactly what happens. God took on flesh in the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. You know, He said, "I and My Father are one." And the Bible said here, "It pleased the Father that in Him all fullness would dwell. For in Him," the Scripture said, "dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And we could not possibly understand, appreciate God as a person. Not just a force in the universe, the creative force, even the saving force, but, oh friend, amen, God is not the force to me. He's my Father, and He's a good Father, And Christ said to Christians, when you pray, when they said, teach us to pray, He said, pray like this. Start with our Father, which is in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Give Him the reverence due Him. But He is your Father now. Not just the force. He's not that cosmic force in the sky. He is a heavenly Father. And Jesus said, when you've seen Me, you know exactly what He's like. When you've seen Me, you know His person, His personality. You know His love, His grace, His tender mercies. When you see Me, you can comprehend that this vast, mighty One that inhabits the entire universe is not a corner of it. He's omnipresent. There's nowhere He isn't. You know, David said just of that in the earthly sense, how consoling that is. He stood and looked out over the Mediterranean Sea in the book of Psalms, and he said, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, if I go down into the grave, even there Thy hand shall uphold me. Praise God. He said, nothing circumstantially, spiritually can happen to me to take me beyond the reach of the presence of God. Isn't it good to know today, Psalm 46:1, if you're facing giants and troubles and chaotic situations in your life, heartache and heartbreak, the Bible said in Psalm 46 in verse 1, God is our refuge. God is our strength. Listen to this. I know it may feel like He's a million miles away, but here's the fact of the matter. God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. A very present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. Because all fullness dwells in Him. When we have Christ, we have all of God's fullness within. We do not need Christ and this or Christ and that. We just need Jesus today. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, that's a simplistic statement. I don't believe that it is. And I'm going to tell you why. Colossians 2, verse 8 through 10 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. I like the paraphrase. It's like I would say it if I was this articulate. Listen, don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of on what Christ has said. For in Christ, there's all of God in a human body. So you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Him. He is the highest ruler with authority over every other power. Praise God. Amen. Make no mistake about it. There are no doubting devils. There's a lot of doubting Christians. There's a lot of unbelievers in the world, but there's not an unbeliever in the netherworld. Every devil believes and trembles, praise God, and they know exactly who Jesus is. And I believe when the church finds out and Christians discover exactly who Jesus is, this glorious Christ, that a boldness is going to come. We call it holy boldness, praise God. The Bible speaks of it in the book of Proverbs. I believe it's 28 in verse 1, that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Praise God. And I believe that God is calling His people deep, literally calling to deep, so that we might know Him as He is, that we might see the glorious Christ and the glory of having this Christ come to live within our heart. You know, Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Incredible that he not only knocks at the heart door of those who are lost and undone and blind and bound, but he knocks at the door of a church that is self-sufficient, who is the richest church in town, and by virtue of all of that wealth said, I'm rich and increased with goods and I don't need anything. And Christ himself is no longer the centerpiece of their gospel, no longer the central figure in their worship, no longer the sustaining force of their life. And he says, behold, this is the door of a church. Behold, I stand at the door, Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, the seventh of the seven churches of Asia. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Praise God. I'm telling you, you have everything when you have Jesus. You know, the scripture said in the New Covenant that God has given us all things. Hath given, not will give, may give, have to give, but has given, past tense, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need is wrapped up in Christ himself. Everything that we need from God has been provided in and through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you have Christ, hallelujah, you have everything. Glory to God. We don't need to turn on the History Channel. And I listen, there's some good programming on television occasionally, but when they start talking about things that they clearly don't know anything about, amen, then it's not really history anymore. Amen. And when they start talking about a God that they don't believe in miracles, they don't believe in the resurrection, they don't believe in the virgin birth, and then they try to explain God and Jesus, they just don't get it. So don't let any man spoil you. This is the warning: through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, folks, he wasn't just a great prophet. He wasn't just a good man. He was God incarnate. And that's why right here, pushing up against the Christmas season, you're going to hear the term Emmanuel. Because when Jesus came, he was called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Why? Because in him dwelt all the fullness. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness might dwell. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the mighty three in one. Amen. And Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. And yet, so we could see what God is truly like, understand this powerful, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God. Hallelujah. Praise God. A God that can fill every corner, not just of the known universe, but to, can I use a Toy Story term, to infinity and beyond. Praise God. That mighty, matchless, majestic, almost incomprehensible God, that we could literally get to know him through Jesus Christ. And that this God could come to live and abide in us. That the one in whom all fullness dwells is knocking on the door of our heart. Hallelujah. Saying, could I come in and sup with you and you sup with me? Praise God. That God would condescend to come down, go to an old rugged cross, allow himself in the form of man to be crucified, die as if he was forsaken, so that we might have life and liberty, so that we might be reconciled unto him. You know, the scripture said, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. This is a love beyond anything that you will ever know or you could ever know. And today, before we close this broadcast, I want you to know that I believe with all of my heart, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I believe that right now God is knocking on the doorpost of your heart. I believe He's knocking on the door of your heart. I believe He's calling you by name. I don't believe this in a general sense. I believe it specifically. If any man hear my voice, what is he saying? Is he just saying, let me in? Or he's saying, in my case, Robert, would you let me in? Oh, friend, I remember the day that I opened the door to Jesus. And I remember Him saving me, forgiving me, reconciling me unto Himself. And I remember just the mention of His name would make my heart just flutter and bring tears of joy and gratitude to my eyes. And friend of mine, I want you to know this wonderful, mighty God through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it today. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be saved so much that He gave His Son. And Jesus wants to save you so much that He gave His life. And greater love than this hath no man than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Would you become a friend of God today by being reconciled unto Him through His Son and the Savior, Jesus Christ? Would you open the door right now? See, you can't change yourself and you can't undo your past, but you can repent of it and open the door. And Jesus said, if any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. Bow before Him now. Give Him your heart. Accept Him as your Savior. Let Him seal you for heaven. Praise God. And today, if you're a Christian and you just go to church and your faith doesn't much affect your life in any other way, the only time maybe you consider calling on God or talking to Him is when extreme crisis comes. He wants more than that. There's more to this than that. Take another look at Jesus and make sure that your heart door stays wide open. Go to church to enter into His presence when you worship Him and enjoy Him. We love you today. We're so glad that you gave us this time to talk to you about Jesus. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?